Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a very special guest for Below Deck Med Premiere Week. It's Hannah Ferrier, of course, the chief stew on Below Deck Med. Hannah, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Denny. How are you?
I'm so good. Now, we met at the Abbey through mutual friends, Ben and Ronnie, of course, from Watch What Crappens.
Yes.
We love them so, so much.
We do.
I wonder, you must listen to Watch What Crappens.
Yeah, I have like a little ritual with Watch What Crappens, and it's like literally smoking and then sitting and giggling for the next hour. And that's like my hour a week. I just go and sit by the water, and it's like my favorite podcast. I love them.
How do you handle all like the online criticism? I know they're like more fun, but...
Oh, look, I just think at the end of the day, you've got to have a really thick skin and know who you are. And I think it's just as important to not listen to the good as not listen to the bad, because I think we concentrate so much on not listening to the bad. And then, you know, you can easily get distracted by thinking you're, you know, shit don't stink anymore because everyone's telling you how wonderful you are. So you've got to kind of just stay at a level and not go down and not go up too much
like
either.
Find that middle ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And we saw the relationship with you and Captain Sandy play out a little bit in the premiere episode. Going into this new charter season, were you nervous about seeing her again? Because you had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship.
Just a little, right? Just a tiny, understatement of the century.
How did you feel going into this season?
Well, Sandy and I had actually had dinner, had a discussion about whether we could work together again and then come to like an agreement about our communication and things like that. So I kind of went into this charter season just really positive. I wanted to concentrate on my job. I was very distracted last season. So, yeah, to me, I just kind of went in. I can think even in, you know, the first episode, you can see I'm like, okay, everything's going to be fine. We're all good. And like, it was probably at the start a little bit over the top, but I just had to have myself in such a positive headspace. So
when you sat down with Captain Sandy beforehand, you said you were talking whether or not we can make it through this season. What was that conversation like?
It was just, I think it's really difficult in the situation Sandy and I were in, because I joined and we don't have any time, like on our first season, we have no time to get to know each other. And it's difficult then because you don't know how, like I didn't know how she wanted me to work with her and vice versa. So this was definitely like, okay, we've worked together for two seasons. How are we going to work together again in a third season and have each, like, you know, and leave with smiles on our faces?
Right. And what about Zhao? I hope I'm saying that. Am I saying that properly?
You're not, but I love
not?
You for
what
it.
What about the relationship with him? Because you also had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah, definitely. So with Joao, I actually I was in the same city with him and I saw him and he was going through a really hard time with Brooke. I kept out of it, but I guess my compassionate side kind of opened up and, you know, I felt bad for him. And, you know, I think the best place to start when you're building in your relationship is pity, obviously. So, I think,
the basis of any friendship.
Exactly. You know, and it's always good, you know, to, I don't mind, you know, I think in the first episode I even said, you know, I like to see a douchebag, you know, to come full circle. So, yeah, no, we definitely had a chat before the season as well. And I think he realized as well that there was a few things that he didn't like about himself when he watched last season. So,
yeah, it seemed like he went into this first episode wanting to change a little bit about himself too.
Yeah, definitely.
Which was good. Now, when we met at the Abbey, Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules showed up.
Yes.
And I wonder, did you know him or do you know any of the other Bravo celebrities? Like, are you close with any of them?
Yeah. So Sheena was just in Sydney. So I was out with her for a few nights and I know Tom and Ariana, we went out on a night out, I think it was a few years ago now. And Jax is quite often at our events and things like that. So, and some of the housewives like Brandy Glanville, And Brandy from Dallas. So, yeah.
Do you watch any of The Housewives?
I watch nearly all of them.
All of them? Yeah. What's your favorite? Oh, my God.
It's usually Beverly Hills, but I don't like this season.
What, because of the Lisa stuff?
I just think, like, I hate that kind of hypocritical stuff on, like, on TV. It's like you're sitting there. I don't care whether she sold the story or not. You all have leaked stuff to the press, every single one of you. So don't sit there and complain or, you know, I feel like she's, you know, I don't know. It's funny actually, because Lisa Vanderpump, I have I know people that worked for her when she was based in south of France.
Right.
But yeah, I just think that it was a bit gross, especially after what happened with her brother, to kind of go that hard on her. Like, I don't really care if she sold the story or not. It doesn't matter. Everyone's done it.
Yeah. And also I feel like the storylines move a little too slow on Beverly Hills. That's my opinion. And I love the fast pace of New York's my favorite. And I love the fast pace of New York. They get over things quickly.
I love New York, but I also really like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Those girls know how to party. They're not so like hoity toity, you know, it'll be like video footage from their cell phones at 3 a.m. and they're like twerking and stuff. They like a lot of fun.
Do you watch any of the international ones? I know they're not like Bravo US ones, but there's like a Melbourne.
I love Melbourne.
Melbourne's so good.
Yeah. So I'm friends with Jackie. She's lovely, but where is it?
I know. Where is it? We need it to come back. I truly think that's like one of the best franchises
we
have.
And did you see Sydney?
I didn't watch Sydney.
Sydney was awful.
Was it awful?
I was that's so why I didn't watch it. I heard it was disgusting. It was just such bad casting.
Yeah. I'm like Melbourne through and through.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. So tell me a little bit about the schedule when you're on a charter, because I'm so fascinated by that. Are you able to catch up on sleep, or by the end of the whole season, are you just exhausted?
Yeah, you're definitely exhausted. We have it basically goes like you're on charter night one and then on charter night two, and then we go out night three. And then we turn the boat around. So then there's that one night where you can get like a good 8 or 9 hours if you can. And then you start charter again. So it's like one night every four, you get a half decent sleep.
So when you're on the charter, what time are you waking up? I mean, you're waking up, you have to be up before the guests and then asleep after them.
Yeah.
That's great. It's like, 'cause I'm so surprised by that.
Yeah, exactly. So we have like an early morning girl and then a mid shift and then a late shift. So it really depends on kind of the charter guests. I try and do the mid shift, which is basically awake before them and asleep after them. But, you know, some of them only sleep like 5 hours because they're not doing anything in the day except drinking. So it is difficult, but we make it work.
And then where does the crew sleep? Like the camera crew, where are they sleeping at? Do we see their beds?
No.
Like, where are they?
They don't sleep on the boat.
So they leave at night.
Yeah. Well, we have day crew and night crew because it's like, it's so different to other reality shows. Like, we film with moving cameras pretty much 24/7. So, we have a day crew that does 12 hours and then a night crew that does 12 hours.
I'm so fascinated by that. It just seems exhausting. It seems like I want you all to nap.
Ah, yes. Now, you sound like Sandy.
I want to talk about Chef Mila. Now, the premiere, I was shocked. This was obviously the most shocking part of the premiere. But the food she was making, and I know she was sick, but please just walk me through this. What were you thinking when you saw that fucking plate of nachos?
I think you can actually, like, I
Your
literally,
face.
Yeah. I need so one good. Of those shirts that say, like, I did not mean to make that face out loud.
It was perfect. And we were all making that face.
I thought, you know, I was getting better, but that face when she's microwaving, I'm standing there like looking between her and the microwave. And I'm like, I was waiting for Ashton Kutcher to jump out and go, no, bitch, we're kidding. You've been punked. It was like the nachos.
I felt like you were even judging a little bit, as was I watching at home, the burgers, fries, and grilled chicken that was served earlier in the day. And I mean, just hearing that lineup, I was like, before we even knew about the nachos, I was like, what? Grilled chicken and burgers? It sounds like something I would make.
Yeah.
It just seemed off.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it shows too much in the episode, but I also had a lot of red flags when she got her provisioning order in, because she bought like probably about 10 times the amount of food that you should be buying. So to me, I was like, this is not an order that is placed by a chef who knows what they're doing. So that worried me. And then, it's always a bit scary when they're throwing up on day one. It's like deja vu. And then, yeah, once those El Del Paso Stuff and Stand tacos came out, I was like, girl, this is what you like eat when you've got the munchies or something. It's not what you should be like serving on a super yacht as a first dinner service. And also, it made no sense. Like, who has like enchiladas, tacos, and nachos as a starter.
As an appetizer.
And then
so
a
weird
ribeye with beans as a main.
What
you're
the
like,
fuck?
It was so
weird.
And then
weird. The steak in the microwave. I was like, I know never to microwave a steak. Like, what? I couldn't believe it. It was shocking to
me. It's so, I went like.
But so interesting.
Yeah.
It's like so interesting.
The only thing I put in a microwave is popcorn. I would not cook. I grew up without a microwave. But, and also like the fact that like she was plating the food, I was like, what are you doing? They have like plates full of Mexican food in front of them. Am I supposed to like
how
put like
eat
a main size plate to the side of their thing with a like? I just it.
Thank
it was,
God you didn't serve those nachos either.
Oh,
like, they looked terrible. Like I've made nachos at 4 a.m. better than those.
Yeah,
like they looked terrible.
They were, and I've legitimately, I think I said in the episode, I've never once not refused to serve food. And I was like, I cannot bring myself to take that out. It's just disgusting.
Did anyone eat those nachos?
No.
No, they just went in the trash.
Yeah.
Good. She gets fired, right? I bet she gets fired. I don't know that I'm just guessing. Like, I truly don't have any spoilers. I just am guessing she's fired. How could she last?
Yeah, well, how could she last if she keeps serving food like that? But you never know. It might honestly be that she just had a, you know.
She was sick.
And
she has the training under her belt. So maybe she puts it together, pulls it together.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though.
Yeah. I'm wondering if she went to Cordon Bleu or she just walked past it, you know?
Right.
There's a difference.
I'm curious what the difference is between working with not only a female chef, but also a female captain. Like, do you notice a big difference? Because in the past, have you had typically more
male captains and male chefs? It's a really different dynamic. But yeah, I didn't think like I'd worked with one female captain before Sandy and it really hadn't gone well. So I didn't think I'd do that again. And me and Sandy have kind of come through weathered the storm together. But yeah, I think a female chef is different as well because I'm such a girl's girl. So I immediately kind of get a bit protective of females around me, whereas with men, I'll just go for gold. So it's like I can't snap at her or like have kind of, you know, the Ben and Hannah screaming matches that we used to have. I just wouldn't do that with a female. So yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic.
Do you watch the other Below Deck?
Yes, I do.
Yes. And so I want to talk about last season, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You watched last season. What did you think of the way that Kate had treated Caroline?
Do you know what? I think it's like such a difficult situation because obviously when you look at it on, you know, on TV, it looks really horrible. And I definitely don't condone, you know, speaking to someone like that. But at the same time, I know that sometimes, you know, things are, we film, as I said, 24/7. There will be so much that has been left out that on Caroline's side to get Kate to that level of frustration, you know. I know that, you know, sometimes you see me snapping at one of the stewardesses and I'm like, hey guys, you left out the fact that 10 times I'd checked the cabins and she made the same mistake, you know?
Yeah.
So I also know that, you know, it's really difficult in our show to show everything.
Right. Right. What do we have to look forward to this season?
So the
trailer looks good.
It's
sorry,
so
I'm interrupting
good.
You. It looks
no.
really
I'm actually for the first time in years, I'm really excited about the season. I didn't know obviously what to expect after season one and season two and three. I had no kind of excitement about it coming up, but this one, I'm so excited. It's going to be hilarious. There's kind of a little bit of everything, but it's quite a nice season, which I felt like was really needed. I feel like there's been a little bit kind of backstabby and ugh, you know, I went into last season in a really bad headspace myself personally. So I think we were all just kind of there to have a good time, work hard. There's definitely a few slackers, but you know that it's kind of like those people that are like, they're always late or they, you know, always like dodge out when it's their round on the bill or something like that. But then they're so funny that you kind of just forgive them.
Right. They're cuter, lovable.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's like a puppy that pees on your rug. You know, we've got a few of those on board. You're like, God damn it, but you're still cute.
Right, right. How can I be mad?
Yeah.
Now, is anyone fired this season? I won't make you say who, but will somebody be fired?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the preview, we also see Chef Mila. I'm, like, so pissed off at Chef Mila right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the preview, we see she doesn't want her son to see two men kissing.
Yes.
And as a gay man, I was very upset about this. And I don't know the context. But how did you handle that?
I kind of couldn't handle that because I have, you know, one of my best friends in Australia is gay and he's Muslim. So I've seen him fight like the most horrible battle. I have so many gay friends and if I was in that car, I don't know what I would have done because that's the type of thing to me. That's like, it's like racism. It's my blood. I'm getting like pins right. and needles, even like thinking about it, like my anger levels would just reach that. Like I couldn't even talk to her about it because I was so angry. It's just disgusting in 2019 that we're still having these ignorant idiots say things like that.
Truly, I was shocked just seeing it. And it was just a preview. And obviously, again, we don't know the context, but just seeing it, it was like, oh my God, I forget sometimes too, like that this is a thing to some people in certain
It is really, it's such a hard thing though as well, and it is no excuse, but you know, you are a product of your upbringing, and Russia is still quite different, backwards right. when it comes to that sort of thing, you know? So, but at the same time, that's not as an excuse because you've lived in Monaco for years and you have the internet and hopefully half a brain, so you should be able to work it out on your own, you know?
Right. Almost as offensive as those nachos. Almost.
Almost.
So I have some questions from Facebook. I went online and got some questions for you. So Megan Stout said, is Conrad still waiting for you to pay him back?
No, I paid him back on that day he asked me.
Could we ever get a crossover with you and Kate working together? I would love to see that. I think fans would love to see you two together.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to work with Kate. I think that would be hilarious.
How would that work? Is there ever a situation in chartering where there's like a two chiefs?
Do you know, it's so funny because like I think a lot of people think we like pitch against each other when we're actually friends. And I think it would come down to me going, honey, you be chief stew, and her going, no, you. We'd probably more be fighting for the second right. stew position than the chief.
So Sarah Lanier, I hope I'm saying that right, says, do you ever watch the show back? Do you regret anything from previous seasons?
Look, I think, you know, there's definitely things that I would have done differently, but I kind of think that regret in life in general is quite a waste of time. Yeah. It's a kind of a stupid emotion because I kind of believe that if you're regretting something, you're probably not learning from it.
Right.
So why don't you learn from it and move forward instead of regretting it?
Right. Beth Unger says, do you still have a friendship with Bobby?
Who?
Bobby. Good answer. Good answer. Now, Chelsea Lawson says, why do they hire people that are so inexperienced? Is it difficult to find experienced yachties because they want to be on TV? They don't want to be on TV?
I think, yeah. Well, the other thing is our charter season is quite short. So a lot of people like that are experienced yachties, they do already have positions. Yeah. So
Is that the nature of the TV show? Is that why it's a shorter season?
Because I think we can only film for so much, you know, so much time. It's still long. I think we film for 6.5 weeks, but it's also at the end of the season. So people have already done a full, you know, 3-month, 4-month charter season. So.
Right. Right. Jessica Dang says, would you still be in yachting if it wasn't for the show?
I am not sure, Jessica. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. I was in corporate for 6 years before I left for yachting. I did yachting for 6 years before I was approached with Bravo. So it's been so long now. This is my fourth season. So it's so if it was, you know, after the first season or second season, I'd say 100% I'd still be in yachting. But you can never really tell after 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Maura Kelly says, would you rather work for Captain Lee or Sandy? Captain Sandy.
I would love to do a season with Captain Lee because
I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
too.
I've spent time with him and I really like him, but I'm very happy with my relationship with Captain Sandy as well. So if anything, it would just be to experience something new.
Right, try something new. And what's the oddest thing you've seen on a client preference sheet?
Probably a woman I spoke about earlier today. She ate berries for every single meal. So I would have to serve like blueberries as the starter, raspberries as the main, mulberries.
Why did she do that? Did she ever say why? She just liked
it. Was
it?
Just her diet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't do cabins and I don't have to clean her toilet because I don't know what would be going on down there.
Do you ever look at certain client preference sheets and think, like if somebody has picky food choice, food tastes or something like that, and sort of silently judge them? Like they're coming on a yacht with a wonderful chef and they're just looking for shit.
Yeah, I think you definitely, I can these days, I can look at a preference sheet and pretty much know how the charter's going to go. But, you know, we used to, like, I've worked for a boss that was obsessed with, like, sheep's brains, but they had to be fresh. So we had to buy the whole head of the sheep and then cook it and then crack the skull open so that he could eat the brains. Yeah. So you know what? Like, if you're a vegetarian, I'd prefer to deal with that, quite frankly.
Right. A little easier.
Yeah.
CR Baskin said, do you ever film people on the yacht and then don't use the trip for an episode? Has there ever been a charter that has not gone to air?
No.
No. Angela Mullen says, who's your dream cast to work with? Like throughout all of the below decks.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'd love to work with Kate. I'd love to work with Lee. I'd love to work with Julia, my second stew from season one. I liked, I don't remember his name. Brian. Brian, the bosun, obviously very memorable from season one.
What about Bravo celebrities? Have they ever pitched like a Bravo crossover where they have like some housewives on the thing? Has that happened?
I think the housewives went on Below Deck. Yeah.
At some
once.
Point, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever want that or would you, you don't
want
to see
I'd
these
love
people.
That. I want the Atlanta housewives and like, I want them twerking, but I don't like Nene this season actually.
Right. Nene kind of went off the rails, didn't she?
Yeah.
You were team Cynthia and all of that.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, it was just because like, I feel like as people that work in reality TV, especially the housewives, because you're choosing to put your private life out there, mine is my work, you know? So if I keep my personal life personal, then it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. But with the housewives of Atlanta this season, it was like with Nene, I felt so bad for her in some ways, but I just think it was almost worth just taking a season off and going, I've got too much. There's too much pressure. I can't have the cameras in my face. My husband's dealing with cancer. But if you choose to keep going and you want to keep doing it, then you have to kind of be open. And, you know, you even saw Andy at the reunion. He was getting frustrated. It's like, you can't just say no answer, no answer when this is your job, you know?
And she was saying no answer, no answer with seemingly such an attitude. It was like, it was hard to watch and she wasn't doing herself any favors. And I actually thought she would go into that reunion being trying to course correct a little bit and be a little nicer.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well, but no.
Trinity Weiss says, has Bugsy ever apologized to you for being the worst?
No, I think we had a chat like after the reunion for 2 seconds, but I don't know. I don't like that. I'm really not a fan of the kind of sneaky behavior. Like if you want to like, you know, with the whole iPad thing, just come up to me and go, hey, I think it's – bring a camera. That's fine, you know. Bring a camera, ask me why I'm texting a charter guest and we can have a chat about it face to face. But just like to me, that was gross. Yeah. Like we're texting back and forth and you and all the crew are like reading it. It's just kind of, it's such a snaky move. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you, as a chief stew, lose all your trust in your second so early on in the season, you know, it's very hard to come back from that.
Right. Now you have a very infamous appearance on Watch What Happens Live with Bobby.
Yes.
And can you just tell me a little bit about that? A lot of people were sending me in questions about this. They wanted to know what was that like? How did that all happen? How did you resolve it?
It was the funny thing is a few people have asked me, they're like, was that staged? And I was like, no, it definitely wasn't. But Bobby, basically, he can get something in his head and it doesn't matter what you say, what other people say. That's just the way it is and that's it. And this was something, he'd basically, he'd done this, you know, thing on Instagram going like, oh, I'm going to randomly draw two people to come to Watch What Happens Live. And he shows up with like two girls that look like they're, walking the streets at 3 a.m., like hustling for a bit of extra pocket money. And it's like, if
no
you're-
No shame in that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But then just say, like, I'm going to choose two people. Don't say two people randomly because it's not random.
It wasn't
you're looking
random.
At their Instagram. And then the fact that he'd invited Lauren, who ended up being our third stew, was just to me like it's like you've invited a normal girl who you've been on a few dates with and then you've brought two other girls that look like that. It was just a bit dodgy to me. And then he just started on all this stuff that had happened like between the seasons and things and it was just, yeah, it just kind of escalated quickly.
I'm always so fascinated about Watch What Happens Live. Like, do you, what time do you have to get there? These are sort of behind the scenes-y questions, but I feel like it's interesting to fans.
Caroline, who's the makeup artist on Watch What Happens Live, she's amazing. So, and we're friends as well. So we're all always kind of messaging beforehand about what look we want. And so I'll get there usually at like 6 p.m. and then we'll have a glass of champagne and we'll start hair and makeup. And usually I've got someone with me in the green room. So Watch What Happens Live is actually just a lot of fun. There's no like pressure. It's just very well, apart from, you know, when you start getting into it. But yeah, no, it's just a lot of fun.
Do they tell you the games beforehand or are those all just sprung on you usually?
I think they're usually sprung on us.
One more question from Facebook. Lucy Elizabeth says, how do you feel? Do you feel that you've been accurately portrayed on the show so far?
I feel like they've told the true story of what's happening on the yacht. I feel like people need to understand that I'm at work and me at work and me personally are two different things because, you know, if you come in and you're just best friends with the girls and, you know, you can, they need to, you need to be able to get to know them a little bit first and see their work ethic before you can be friends with them. So, yeah. I think that it's just different. Work Hannah and personal Hannah are very different.
Why do you think the show has taken off so well? Because people are obsessed with it. I newly became obsessed with it. I got really hooked on the last regular season.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, why do you think it works so well and people are loving it so much?
I think it works so well because, firstly, it's a world that a lot of people didn't even know existed. And secondly, because it is so authentic. Like, we don't need to... Like, we don't just go and film for 6 hours at a dinner table and then talk about stuff. Like, we're getting filmed 24/7 and all the drama and all the feelings and emotions and everything are very real. They're very raw and you can't get away from the cameras. There is no breaks. So they actually capture everything. So the story they tell is just so authentic.
I love it. Now I just want to ask you a couple of quick pop culture lightning round questions.
Sure.
What's your favorite movie?
Pretty Woman.
Do you like Captain Ron? Captain Sandy mentioned the movie Captain Ron. Do you know that movie?
No.
She mentioned it on the premiere. I just was wondering. If it's about like a, I mean, I can't really, is it Pauly Shore? Or something? It's like a good, bad movie. That makes sense. But Captain Sandy mentioned it off the cuff on the episode.
Anyway, oh, really? No.
Any shows that you said you would want to cross over with Atlanta Housewives?
Yes. And I'd love to have the New York Housewives on as well.
Who's your all-time favorite housewife?
Oh, gosh.
To watch.
To watch it would still be Brandi Glanville.
I know, yeah. They need her back. I think she was entertaining.
Yeah, she was very entertaining.
I agree with you. Who would you choose if you were choosing for People Magazine, the sexiest man alive? Who would you choose?
What's his name? The old guy's son?
The old guy's son. Clint Eastwood's son?
Yes!
Oh my God, how did I... That's amazing. I need to pat myself on the back. That was amazing. Scott Eastwood is who you're talking about.
Yeah, except actually I follow...
I'm so gay.
You are. I follow him on Instagram and he came up the other day and he was doing like some talk, like, but he was talking at the camera and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, enough.
Don't
enough
talk,
enough.
Honey. Just be quiet.
Right, just be pretty. Have you ever dated any male celebrities? This might be too
personal.
No,
no.
Sleep with them?
Yeah.
Anyone you could share with us? Oh my God. You don't have to say.
No, there's a few like kind of D-grade in Australia that I've dated. But in America, no.
So Chris Hemsworth?
Oh, yeah.
I wish.
I wouldn't have let him go, honey. He'd be in my basement locked up.
Me too. Okay, did you have an AOL Instant Messenger screen name?
A what?
An AOL Instant Messenger. Did you have that?
No.
You never used that?
Okay. No.
And then finally, favorite Mariah Carey song?
Was it Daydream?
Daydream, yeah.
Yeah.
Dream Lover is the song, and then Daydream was another album.
Yeah. That one.
Okay. Hannah, where can people find you on social media?
On Twitter, it's HannahFerrier_, and Instagram is HannahFerrier234, and I live tweet every episode and do Instagram lives after the episodes. So if you've got any questions, jump on there.
Thank you so much for coming by. This
Thank
was so fun.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Wasn't Hannah great? I had so much fun chatting with her. I'm a Below Deck stan now. Who knew? I fell in love with Below Deck the last season of the original Below Deck, the most recent season. I thought it was one of the best shows on Bravo, truly. Like, the most recent season was phenomenal. Kate was amazing. And now I'm excited about getting into Below Deck Med now. I'm like really on board. I was binging them and now I'm into it. So I'm very excited. I'm not going to be covering it regularly on the pod. My apologies. I'm not. Maybe we'll have a cast member or something on again. I would love that. But I'm not going to be recapping it. You know, sometimes I need some of these Bravo shows to just watch without thinking about notes. That's selfish of me, isn't it? I don't care. I'm out loud and proud. I'm out loud and proud about my love of Below Deck, but I'm not going to be recapping it because I need to be able to watch a couple shows where I'm just, you know, not thinking about podcasting about it, and I can just take it all in and enjoy. That's how I felt about Summer House, you guys. Have you been watching Summer House? I'm so depressed that it's over, but I think it was such a phenomenal season, and it was truly one of my most looked forward to shows on Bravo. Like, I enjoyed watching the season of Summer House so much. If you haven't watched it, just jump in on season 3. Watch the most recent season. And a little birdie told me that we're getting a season 4. It's not confirmed. That's a rumor, but I've heard that. So I'm feeling very good about it. But I loved this season of Summer House. I think they got the cast right. I'm like literally like in love with Paige. I think all of us are, right? I mean, the way that she treated Carl was what Carl had coming. You know, he had it coming. What's that Chicago song? He had it coming. You know what I'm saying, that Chicago song. Now that's playing in my head. Anyway, apologies. But I loved Summer House so much, and I'm so excited for the next season. I wish we had more. I felt like I needed more of a season, but did you guys see the Vanderpump Rules kids on Summer House? It was almost like I love the Vanderpump kids, but it was almost like we didn't need them on the show. Like, I was just loving the cast, the season of Summer House. I would have been happy without them there. Although it was nice to see Tom Schwartz had to go to the hospital for some anal fissure. Something I haven't seen on a Bravo show before is one of our cast members getting an anal fissure. Fissure. And then Jordan, I think Jordan is like an amazing reality TV villain and confusing presence. I mean, he's been very compelling to watch on TV, and I've just loved this season. So watch it if you haven't. Now, I want to also say it's Pride Month. Happy Pride to all my LGBTQ+ and the allies, everyone out there. I hope to have some more LGBTQ+ people on the show, on the Everything Iconic. Also, I want to say I haven't been talking much about Drag Race. I love watching Drag Race. It's so fun. Unfortunately, we'll be waiting a little while. Actually, maybe fortunately, we'll be waiting a little while for the next season of Drag Race. But we just wrapped up. Evie Oddly won. Spoiler alert. I hope I didn't spoil that for anyone, but it's been a week, so I feel like it's okay. But Evie Oddly won. And I loved the finale. I liked the season. It wasn't my favorite season, but I did enjoy it. And I'm going to miss it. Although I think it's good that we're having a little bit of a break. But Drag Race is such a wonderfully produced show, and I encourage anyone to watch it if you haven't watched it. And I wanted to start this Pride Month off with an interview, an LGBTQ+ interview. And a few weeks back, I went to the Paley Fest Drag Race celebration or panel. It was here in Los Angeles, and I was on the red carpet, and I got to interview Ross and Carson from Drag Race. They're, of course, judges on Drag Race, and I think everyone knows Ross from, he was on The Tonight Show, and he was on Big Brother. He won Big Brother, which was great, Celebrity Big Brother. And then Carson, of course, we know from Queer Eye, and he's got the show on Bravo. So I had a little quick, tiny interview that I did with them on the red carpet that I wanted to play about Drag Race, because I, again, love Drag Race, and I hope to have some more of the queens on in the future. But for now, I just wanted to play this little interview that I've been saving up, and I thought it'd be great to kick off Pride Month with a little, I don't know, celebration of Drag Race and a quick few questions with Carson and Ross from the red carpet of the Drag Race panel. I will leave you guys with this. Thank you so much for listening. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this show, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Again, it's patreon.com/everythingiconic. There's bonus episodes. I just did a Real Housewives New York recap for the Atlantic City episode from season 7. That's up there. I'll be putting some more episodes up there, bonus. One a month. I'm promising one a month, and hopefully I'll overpromise or underpromise, overdeliver. That's my goal. But I'm just promising one. I'm doing my best. But more importantly, the money just helps to support the show. So if you pledge $4 more per month over there, you get access to the bonus episodes and you're supporting the pod. And then also those t-shirts. I have Wow Bethany Wow t-shirts. I'm on the Brim of Freaking Out t-shirts. Matt even designed this really cute Clueless t-shirt. He like made this Clueless graphic, you know, Clueless the movie. It's not Bravo related, but it's a Clueless graphic. And he made it. I was like, you have to let me put that on the Threadless shop. So if you go to everythingiconic.threadless.com, everythingiconic.threadless.com, you can get that over there. The t-shirts are all there and they're super cute designs. There's a new Pride one I think he's putting up there. Thank you all so much for listening. I love you so much. Goodbye. Hi, I'm Danny Pellegrino with Everything Iconic. It's so nice to meet you both.
Fantastic.
How has the show evolved throughout the years?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think it, you know, it started out as a very, you know, little, it's, we call it, I think, the little show that kind of could and did, because on Logo, it was very much kind of focused towards the LGBTQ community, and it's all an art that we were all familiar with, but now that we're on VH1 and it's more mainstream, it's an art that's really being showcased to everybody, to the mainstream, and I think it's most resonant when we go to things like DragCon and we see, you know, little 10-year-old kids and 85-year-old grandmas and moms and dads and everybody in between are there, because drag is fun and drag is celebratory and drag is entertainment.
Entertainment. I think the show, of course, has evolved in that, like, the budgets are higher, so the show looks better, right? But I really think, even when you go back to watch season 1, the core of the show is the same. The message is the same. I think what's changed is the culture has caught up with the show. But really, it's still about artists trying to celebrate what they do, what they love to do. And it's about fun and funny.
And really fun production.
Yes.
And I think you're absolutely right. Like, it's always been the same team of creative people making this show. And every time I go on set and they say, this is the challenge, this time I'm like, oh my God, that is so smart and fun and funny.
What about
Rachel Maddow challenge, I think we're screening today. Like, they just, that at its core has always been so fantastic.
What's your favorite Mariah song?
Touch My Body. Yeah.
Is that the one with the Wendy interview?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that, me too. Yeah.
Are there any queens that stand out for you over the years that you stand out in your head?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Bianca
so
Del Rio, Alyssa Edwards.
Shangela, Alyssa Edwards. Oh, my God. So many. Detox. Katya. Morgan McMichaels from the early days. Angina. There's so many great classic queens, you know, that are all, side note, all still working. You don't need to win this show to have the biggest career possible. Look, Shangela is a perfect example. Shangela's tried more than any other queen to win this show.
Right.
But she's winning in life.
Well, congratulations on so many years. It was so nice meeting you two.
Thank you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.